Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DC's teams are building a foundation of success on and off the field. It's time for you to plan for your future as well with our friends, the exclusive sponsors of our show, the law firm of Kondorian and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. KMLawyers.com to do that. Tell them we sent you and you'll get a discount. That's KMLawyers.com. We'll cover the Wizards coming up in a couple of minutes and the Commanders who are getting ready for the Saints in New Orleans. We will be there at the Superdome. But we start off on the ice. The Caps have had a several-day reprieve and they are getting back to the ice. So let's get after it. Bailey Johnson is with us, covers the Caps for the Washington Post. Bailey, tell us about the night ahead and the break here for the Caps and what they got done.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. It's kind of a little bit of one of those trap games where the Caps have been off for 4 or 5 days now, depending on how one counts days. And the Blue Jackets played Tuesday night. Devison was not pleased with how they played. He is certainly a stern guy who drives them hard and has them playing really hard and fairly well this year. They've obviously had some ups and downs and aren't one of the top teams in the league, but they're hard to play against and can give you a fight on any given night. So the combination of them almost certainly being very up and ready to go for this one after they did the way they played on Tuesday, and the Caps coming off of a long layoff. This is the longest break they've had since the beginning of the season when they started way after everybody else. The Capitals will certainly need to be ready to go early tonight, or this one could turn on them pretty quickly.
Yeah, most recent sample against one of the bottom feeders of the league, they didn't play a particularly good game and lost to San Jose in overtime. Hard to complain much about what the Caps have done as they lead the league in points, but it's something I'm certainly aware of heading into tonight. And you mentioned kind of being off the rhythm a little bit, not having played in a while. So just kind of thoughts there playing against a team that frankly isn't having a very good season.
Yeah, I've been thinking about the San Jose game for the same reasons. Again, you know, another one of the teams that's not one of the top in the league, and the Capitals have done very well against teams that are very, very good. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in a very good game on the road last Friday. Struggled a little bit in the beginning against Montreal in what could kind of be a similar situation tonight. Montreal's not great, but they do have some players that can hurt you, and they came out fast and hard and really took it to the Capitals for the first 20 to 30 minutes, most of the first two periods, before the Caps decided, hey, we'd actually like to win this game. And playing here in Columbus, Columbus has a new goalie coming in tonight, Jet Greaves, who hasn't played a game for them this year but has been pretty strong in the American League. That tends to motivate the defenders in front of him to play tight and give him a good game in his first game of the season as a younger player. So the Capitals will, I think, need to start well, start on time, and probably get up by a couple early if they want to have success tonight.
Ovi was taking some shots on the ice yesterday, needed someone to pass to him, and he found an old friend. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it. Backstrom's not around a ton, but he was in the building yesterday for whatever reason. I don't know why. And Ovi wanted somebody to pass to him, and who better than number 19? So I got there right after they'd both gotten off the ice, so I missed it. But I saw the pictures and videos just like everyone else. And obviously, you know, a sweet moment, and I'm sure Ovi enjoyed that as he's, I would imagine, getting bored skating on his own at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a little joke there. Do you think Backstrom's qualified? Like, is there enough pedigree there for him to be up to the challenge? That is a good deal, but I love stuff like that. In terms of how this team is playing defensively, overall, you have to be really impressed with what they've done to this point. Is there any kind of, I don't want to say worry or chink in the armor even, but there have been a few moments where there have been some high-scoring games here over the last month or so. It just kind of have me noting it overall. Just give me your thoughts on how the team is playing structurally defensively.
Yeah, you're right about that there have been some high-scoring games. They've definitely tightened up over the last couple of weeks, which is what Spencer Carberry has wanted to see. I mean, early on in the year when they were playing those really high-scoring games, they were also scoring 6 or 7 goals right. And kind of getting themselves out of trouble. But Carberry knows how to read the analytics and knows that the Caps probably won't be the best shooting percentage team in the league all year, which they currently are. So that means that they have to still play tight defensively, because if that changes on them and all of a sudden shots aren't going in, pucks aren't going in, they're not having the same level of offensive success. They can't count on scoring 5 goals and getting out of their mistakes. So he wants them to still be playing tight defensively and sticking to their structure. And you've seen them do a better job of that lately. Even in the San Jose game, they probably shouldn't have lost to the Sharks, but they gave up 1 in regulation and then lost in overtime. So that was 2. Gave up 1 to Toronto, 2 in Montreal. They've been tighter lately, and I think you're seeing that trend come back to where Spencer Carberry would like it to be.
Bailey, thank you. We appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. The Caps, the best team in hockey as of the moment they last played a game. Games in hand now behind a couple of teams, but they have been awesome all season long. Nice chance to check them out again tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, let's keep the Blitz moving. Next up for the Wiz, the Cavs, 7 o'clock tip tomorrow, last time out. I believe it was that Grizzlies game, so they too have had a little break here. Chase Hughes joins us, Monumental Sports, to discuss the Wizards. Chase, how should we be feeling right now about the local hoop squad?
Well, they're a quarter into the season, and they've had this nice little break, and it'll be interesting to see how they look when they come out of it, because, you know, they've only got 3 wins so far. I think they knew what they were getting into this year, but they probably hoped for their defense to be a little bit better, maybe that they'd have a few more wins so far this season. And, you know, they're coming out of the NBA Cup, and they've got 2 games added to their schedule, and they happen to be against the best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. And, you know, starting with that Cavaliers game, they've played them twice so far this year. The first time was at home. They were pretty competitive until the fourth quarter when Donovan Mitchell just was unbelievable, took over the game. But that second time they met the Cavaliers, they had, you know, maybe their worst loss of the season. They really got blown out. So I think this will be an interesting game to watch to see how can they bounce back after having the benefit of a few days to practice and really gear up for that game.
So, Chase, they got a lot of injuries all of a sudden they've added up, whether it's Kuzma, and I know a couple guys didn't play the other night, and Kispert and Saar and company. Update us there. I mean, win-loss, I'm not really as concerned, but I want to see the kids, and there are a couple guys that are banged up here. Give me the latest on Saar, George, and company.
Yeah, so another good reason to embrace these days off that they have is to heal up a little bit, but it's a bunch of minor injuries. It's hard to say who's going to be able to play tomorrow, but you've got Alex Saar, who has lower back soreness. He missed the last 2 games. He indicated he's probably going to be able to to play tomorrow, but we'll see how he reacts after practicing today. Kuzma's been out for a little while with a rib issue. He seems to have the most serious of their injuries, given how long he's been out. Malcolm Brogdon had a knee issue, came back, and then hurt his hamstring, but it doesn't seem to be very serious either. And then you've got both Keyshawn George and Corey Kispert, who went down within a minute and 20 seconds of game time of each other with the same injury, a sprained left ankle. They've all been kind of slowly working their way back. I think Saar's probably the closest to returning, and Kuzma's the furthest away, possibly, and the other 3 would be in between.
Chase, how is the veteran trade chip market developing for them, you know, this season? Who could be on the block?
Well, they've got a good group of veterans, but of course some of them haven't been healthy. Kyle Kuzma, his season has kind of been defined by his injuries, so that's always going to affect a guy's trade value. I think they've all shown that they can be contributors when they are healthy. I mean, Valanciunas in particular, I would imagine his stock is pretty high right now in general. He's been terrific this season, only playing about 20 minutes per game, but he's played every single game, and his per 36 numbers are pretty exceptional. I mean, he's having the best season per minute that he's had in a few years, and he's been one of the more productive players, not only on the team, But in the NBA, per 36, he's averaging like 21 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, over a block per game. So, with a guy who's playing that well and who serves a pretty specific purpose for them, it's always going to be a tough decision when it comes to those types of things. Like, for instance, they're the worst rebounding team in the league when he's off the court. But when he's on the court, they're top five in the league in rebounding. And that was their biggest problem last year. So it always comes down to, like, do they get an offer that they can't really refuse? Because, you know, in the case of him and in the case of Brogdon and a lot of these other guys, they like the impact that they provide and the example they set for their young players.
Chase, I got in a minor argument. It wasn't heated, but it was a conversation with different points to be made in two different sides. I'm not going to lead the witness at all. Is Bob Carrington a point guard long term?
I think so. He has not been a point guard throughout his entire life. It's something that he's kind of picked up over the last few years, particularly last season at Pittsburgh. But he's really good at creating off the dribble, and I think he's proven to be a really good table setter over the past few years. You know, averaged about 4 or 5 assists last year in college, and he is a combo guard, but I think they see him as a point guard long term because they like guys who have size for their position. You know, they really covet positional size, and at 6'4", 6'5", that certainly applies to point guard, I think, more than shooting guard. And based on the way that they've used him so far and the way they've talked about him, I do think point guard is his position long term.
Chase, thank you, brother. Be good.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, be well. All right, let's talk football. Chick Hernandez, Channel 9, DC, WSA TV 9 in town. Chick, you guys met with KJ Osborne. I just was watching the video in the break. Do you think he plays this weekend at wide receiver?
Ah, boy, that's a great question. Knowing Cliff Kingsbury, why not? Get the guy in the mix. They've had a few, obviously coming off the bye week, they've had some time to kind of chillax a little bit and retool the offense. I don't think that's an issue. Why not? Noah Brown, unfortunately, when he first came to the Commanders, he played out of the gate. So let's go. Let's work him in. So yeah, I would not be surprised one bit if he plays. By the way, I like the fact that you go from Chase Hughes to me. You're keeping the initial CH. Well done.
Greg Heist is on next, so we're gonna round out the blitz with another CH.
That's impressive.
See if Craig Hoffman's available, please.
My friend Chris Hollister could come on. Chick, they may just be the answer that you just gave, but how do they replace Noah Brown? Is it a couple of guys with maybe a target more per week, or do they just go, KJ Osborne, it's your spot?
Yeah, I think it's his spot. I mean, look, to lose Eckler and to lose Brown, that's a lot of offense that you're missing. So they've got to find some places, and I think the way that Jaden played, 10 days ago, whatever, I think they're kind of back on track when it comes to that, and they're going to face a pretty decent Saints defense, although I'm not sure what Chase Young is going to be doing on that defense because he doesn't seem to be playing so well. I think you just got to go with what brought you there. Simple as that. And I think that Cliff has a really good feel for what Jaden Daniels is doing and what he can do. And obviously with Terry, going to get a lot of coverage here because he's been hotter than July. I think they'll be okay.
One area where I'm not as convinced they'll be okay, I'm raising my concern flag, if you will.
Okay.
Kicker, where they're rolling with Zane Gonzalez. He missed 2 kicks in the last game they played. Then he missed practice time yesterday with a left foot injury, which is the plant foot for him. It seems like they're confident, right? I mean, they're just rolling with him now moving forward.
I think they're confident. Indoor game, which makes a difference for a kicker. Obviously, there'll be no wind. They're confident. It is a strange. I mean, look, it's kicker number 6 under Dan Quinn since March.
Man.
So it's really odd what they've been through with the kicking situation. How many more kickers can you find out there? That's, where are you going when you're 6 kickers deep as it is? You got a guy who was really good until his last game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there weren't many games before that. He hadn't kicked in the league since 2021.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So it's a small sample, and now we got a little bit of a bugaboo. But to your point, they like him more than they like the guys that are available. Other injuries. He was on the injury report. He was full practice today, which is good. It looks like Cleland Farrell and Quan Martin were the two guys that still are not really practicing in full. Have they said if there's any concern on either of those two guys on the defensive side?
No concern, because Joe Witt Jr. won't tell us anything. He's a great POW. He can say a lot of things, and you get nothing out of it. So, no, I don't think it's a concern. I talked to Quan yesterday. He didn't seem like he was concerned about it. It's just the normal wear and tear, and even though, the bye week. I think the bye week really helped a lot of those guys. A guy like Cleveland who got a chance to get better and healthier. I think it really helped them. Obviously, it was so late in the season. I mean, the latest that any team's had. So I think they're in a prime position. I'm kind of giddy about what's going to come here down the stretch.
So speaking of that, Chick, did they find something against Tennessee, or was it a good game against the team that's struggling?
Well, they found that they sure can run the ball, and with B-Rob back there now, even more rested from that hammy, I think he's fine, and the O line is kind of salivating as to what they can do. So they've gone basically to and this is Sam Cosby did this last year, and it fell on deaf ears, but it was to Cliff Kingsbury and crew, like, hey, let's run the ball. We run the ball, we're so dangerous, and that is the case for that offense. I think you're going to see a pretty solid offense the rest of the way here, barring any catastrophic injury. And now that I've said that, I'll knock on some wood.
Yeah, how much of a story this week out in Ashburn was Chase Young against Washington? We asked listeners earlier today. I mean, they didn't seem to care much. It just didn't come up.
Zero. I mean, I think, Dan Quinn spoke highly of him. And I'm not, as you well know, Grant, I'm not a big numbers guy. So all the analytics about what he's done, if you just watch the tape, that he's not the guy that everybody hoped he would be. Simple as that. He came into the league, the high cachet, and you thought, okay, this guy could be a gangbuster. This could be LeVar Arrington, a young Arrington, all of it. And it's just not been the case. You watch him loaf on plays. I don't think they're that concerned with him. Now, having said that, a guy who's playing against his former squad, that kind of gets you up a little bit. But that's the same thing that a bunch of former Cowboys said who are now in the Commanders. That didn't work out so well.
Chick, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Peace out, boys.
That's our guy, Chick Hernandez, Channel 9 in town. Check him out over on WUSA TV. I want to get into the injury report in a little more detail. Our level of confidence in Zane Gonzalez, who they're rolling with. Will we see KJ Osborne play in that Noah Brown spot this week, or is it going to be another week to get him up to speed? And what if Quan Martin or Cleveland Farrell, who are both still limited in practice, who aren't either able to go or be themselves? Let's dive into the Commanders and the Saints and the injury report next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Noah Brown out against the Saints, unlikely to play again this season. The Commanders claimed KJ Osborne, the former Viking, who's had plenty of success in the NFL this season, played in 7 games with the New England Patriots, just wasn't used very often. But he was a terrific slot receiver in Minnesota before showing up with the Pats. Danny, do you think he plays this weekend for the Commanders?
I do not, just because I think it's too fast.
It would be pretty aggressive. When did he get? They claimed him this week on Tuesday,
yeah.
Right?
So he may be a genius. I mean, Josh Dobbs is like an actual rocket scientist or whatever the hell. It still took that guy a couple days to figure out a playbook in its entirety, to know where to go.
Oh, so you're saying he won't even be active? You think he's
that's my guess. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are able to communicate with him somehow. Hey, on this one, run a corner. This one, run a stop. This one, run a curl. I don't know. I wouldn't guess that he'd be up this week. I think this is more of a, we need the body in the room, get him up to speed, and then maybe utilize him down the stretch. Some of them, I just think it's too fast. It's not a reflection on him.
Totally agree with that, except that, they don't have a whole lot of depth at wide receiver. And in terms of actual quantity, if you wanted to deactivate him this weekend, That means you'd have McLaurin, Zacchaeus, Deami Brown, and Luke McCaffrey, only four receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to elevate, say, Bryson Tremaine from the practice squad and have him be your fifth wide receiver potentially at that point. I just don't really see them only having four wideouts active. Now, I guess you could call up, I'm just speculating, but you know, Michael Wiley, the running back, with your injury that you're dealing with to Austin Eckler, and make your 53, you know, look different elsewhere. But I think just from a sheer numbers standpoint, mm-hmm. if you go into the game with four wide receivers, the first time you lose someone, you know, somebody loses their wind or isn't available for a series because they roll an ankle or whatever, you now don't have an extra wide receiver. Like in a three receiver set, when you're an 11 personnel, guys run down the field a couple of plays in a row in 2 minutes and they're tired. There's no one to trot out there for them. Now you're having to put like John Bates or Zach Ertz split out. So I think KJ Osborne probably has to be active. There's a difference between will he play and will he actually be heavily involved. And I would guess he catches, no, I would say he gets like one or two throws and one catch and he plays like 10 or 11 snaps. Something like that.
So your point is right about the numbers. I anticipated someone coming up from the practice squad or something just for this week. I mean, the plan isn't that person, whoever it is, for this Sunday for a long time. It's clearly Jamison Crowder, KJ Osborne, etc. But the window is just now open for Crowder. I don't expect him this weekend. And then, you know, Osborne. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a, maybe that's a, you give him, you spoon feed him. Here's a sub package. Here's a handful of plays. We're not going to ask you to do much. You're blocking on 70% of them anyhow. This is just to give Terry a break or something.
Bryson Tremaine's been elevated earlier in the season. He's still on the practice squad, so he'd be a candidate. He's the big kid from Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'4", had an awesome training camp, pretty good preseason. I actually really, really like him. I don't know that he's ever going to be, you know, any kind of regular contributor in the NFL on Sundays, but I think he's a really nice player to have in the organization, and he just flashes all the time at training camp. They also have Mitchell Tinsley still. I mean, people have probably forgotten about him.
Made some preseason noise.
Last year, primarily.
Yeah.
A little bit this year, too. But if you remember, he was the story. He was the biggest, most talked about player that forced his way onto the roster at the end of the preseason last year when he was on the bubble. Ended up being on the 53-man for most of the year, but almost never active and very rarely used. I think he caught a pass last season. And then there's one other player named Mike Strachan, at wide receiver, who's on the practice squad, who's got some time.
Who's enormous, by the way.
He got some time with the Carolina Panthers. He's 6'5 and 225 pounds.
Yeah. So maybe if that's the gig, is you're our spread out tight end. Like you're the blocking role, maybe. And we'll throw you a pass just to honor it so that the defense has to account for it. But maybe it's that. I mean, who knows?
I just think there's got to be a way, as new as KJ Osborne is and as much as you've got to learn and as much as that probably is, drinking water through a fire hose. The guy caught 50, 60, and 50 passes over a three-year span with the Vikings. Like, think about that. Wide receivers who have caught 50 or more passes here, there's like five guys in the last 8 years or 9 years or something. And that's hard to do. He's gone for 655, 650, and 540. So there's some game there. He caught 15 touchdowns in 3 years. He had a 7-touchdown season in 2021. Now, this is a Vikings where they're airing it out. Cousins is dropping back and putting the ball in the bucket for the receivers downfield. And you got Justin Jefferson and later into his career with Minnesota. You know, Jordan Addison probably taking some attention away from you as well. So now you're getting one-on-ones in the middle of the field. I get it. I mean, it's not like you're going to be that guy, as we saw with New England, when you leave those players. But he, you remember how excited people were when they signed Noah Brown because the idea was, you got a dude who's actually caught balls in the league?
Yep.
KJ Osborne is more accomplished than Noah Brown in
that way. Yeah, this is very similar in that regard. Yeah.
So I don't – it would not surprise me if Chick Hernandez, who just joined us on the Blitz, is right. And I'm not saying that there's a path to him just getting like 50 snaps this week as their wide receiver two opposite McLaurin. I don't see that at all. But if you told me right now he plays like 20 snaps and has four catches for 27 yards or something, that would not shock me. Because I think all you have to do, Danny, is, I mean, you're learning one role in the offense. I wouldn't ask him to learn three receiver spots. Hey, I need you to learn these 20 plays. This is our game plan. Learn this role and be ready to help us on Sunday.
It's how you'd have to do it. I mean, unless there's something I don't know. Unless Alex Van Pelt, the OC in New England's terminology is the same as Cliff Kingsbury's, or the concepts are the same, or it was the same that Kevin O'Connell was running. There's a lot of crossover. Because to me, it would be too damned overwhelming. It'd be so mechanical where you go, you know, turbo. Okay, that means X. Oh, already the play's over. You know what I mean? Like, that's just so hard.
How complicated these systems are.
Yes.
When you see them. I remember one time going to Will Montgomery's house. This has been a handful of years ago now, well after his playing career. And we were chatting about all kinds of football stuff. And it came, I was asking him about Kyle Shanahan's playbook. He's like, "You want to see it?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he just went and grabbed it. He still had his playbook. And so he like plops it down on the table. I mean, it was, we talk about Al Saunders' playbook.
Mm-hmm, the old 700
pager. Just a big binder, you know, hole punched and everything, but just a clunker. And it starts, it's so thorough. Like the first page is the terms. I mean, like as if you've never played football before, mm-hmm. ever, right? So if you're like Samus Reyes, you know, who was the tight end trying to come over to the United States and learn football, didn't know anything about the sport. You're learning terms like, what is a slant? And then it talks about the depths he wants on every route, and it's very precise. You know, on a dig, it's 15 to 17, but on this, it's 19. I mean, like, that was the first few pages. And then you get into the actual plays, and I mean, it was hundreds of pages. It was insane. To these guys, though, it's their language.
Yeah, they live it. So it's easier, like, it's easier for him than it is for me.
And I think, and I don't know, like, exactly the number, I would say, but, like, if you're in the NFL and you know NFL offense to mm-hmm. the level that KJ Osborne does, I'll bet you know every playbook at, like, an 80-some percent clip, if you get what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you mean,
I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say it's 70%, 80%. And then the rest is, like, filling in the blanks, and what do we call this? And, okay, so that's dagger for us, but that's, for this group, we call it this. And, like, I say all that to say, a super smart guy who's been around the league like that, he could probably play.
Yeah, you could equate it to certain things to get by. So again, this isn't a...
Like, and he's not like a quarterback.
Right.
Where like, that to me is very...
You got to know everybody's stuff. Yeah, I mean, so maybe you have a subset for him, but it just, I don't know, it feels too rushed and too soon, and you know, the guys that have been here and know it, especially if they're not going to be heavily targeted, I would feel like would get up ahead of them, whether it's, again, Bryson Tremaine or Tinsley or somebody, and some of the guys that are here with slightly larger roles. Instead of Luke McCaffrey having a 34% snap count, he gets a 45% snap count. And, you know, Zacchaeus goes up by 6%. Next thing you know, that's how you get your hole this weekend. But maybe, you know, I don't know. It could be that they go, nope, Osborne knows it, or we figured out a way to feed it to him that it makes sense, that he can quantify it. Because, again, I think we underestimate that. Like, it is a brand new language every time. I know it's easier for these guys that live it than it would be for some peon like myself off the street. But, you know, in December football, in a really important NFC game, counting on a guy that has not done it in your uniform at all, in here, just coming in now, seems to be hard.
All right, so let's call our shot on this next, then. I'm going to pose this question, and let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys on this Thursday, steamrolling toward Commanders and Saints. On Sunday, we'll be in New Orleans. Let's set the over-under on a half catch for KJ Osborne on Sunday. Does he go over or under one half a catch in his first game with the Commanders? Is he going to be active? Is he going to be playing? And if he is, does he catch a pass? We'll set it at one half of a catch. Do you see him helping them on Sunday right away? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. KJ Osborne, the former Vikings wide receiver, now with the Commanders, had just 7 catches in New England this season. For whatever reason, on a team needing wide receiver production, couldn't get on the field, couldn't help them. But I choose to look back at his time in Minnesota as what he's capable of. The former Miami Hurricane. Status, I would say, up in the air for this weekend. We don't know if he's going to play or not, but there's only 5 receivers on the depth chart if you count him. So I have a hard time believing he wouldn't play. And because of that, I'm going to say over one half of a catch. I don't think it's going to be a big game, but I'm going to say...
Just do something, get your feet wet.
Yeah, I'm going to say 5 to 8 snaps, and he gets a target and a catch in those 5 to 8 snaps. I will say he catches 1 or 2 balls. So I'm going to say he plays, he catches a pass. I'll go over a half catch.
So that's very reasonable, by the way. I'm going to say under. I just think it's too much to ask for somebody to walk in December, having been in a totally different system, offense, city, region of the country, everything new, maybe get up to speed, just in a numbers game, maybe make him inactive this week, but he'll have a role going forward.
I think that's totally reasonable, too. Yeah. Like, to see it your way through that lens of, I would say more often than not, when you get signed, didn't he sign on Wednesday? It was yesterday, right?
It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. All the days have run together for me this week, by the way. This one's nuts.
I would say more than half the time, that would mean a guy doesn't play. In fact, he shouldn't play this week. They just don't have the depth at the position. If Crowder was on the roster and active and they didn't have to activate him, then I would feel differently. If I thought you'd be better off calling up, say, Bryson Tremaine than just KJ Osborne with a couple of plays written on the back of his hand, then I'd go that route too. But I think there's a little bit of a need here for them, frankly, that might help force them onto the field. Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Definitely appreciate y'all taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I kind of got to agree with you, though, Grant. I really do feel like he may go a little bit over the at least one catch or more, even though, like Danny is saying, that he hasn't been in our offense. You know, he's just getting used to what's going on and really starting to understand everything. But this is a game of football, you know. You kind of get thrown to the wolves at times, and you got to be able to learn how to survive. So I really feel like he's going to be able to play this weekend because we're so injured and, you know, everything is looking kind of in the backfield towards us when we, you know, when we think about who we have on our wide receiver core right now. And then, you know, always got to take it to wrestling. Almost reminds me of like the Royal Rumble. KJ Henry at least will be able to throw one person over the top rope to be able to participate in this game. Definitely appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thank you, dude.
I love Chris ending all of his calls with a wrestling reference. You know, he's watched the Vince McMahon documentary on
Netflix. Had to have, right?
I thought he was going to go with comping him to a wrestler, but he actually went with the actual Royal Rumble. To me, the analogous moment here for the Royal Rumble is we're all sitting there and we're waiting to hear whether or not his music hits. Like that initial bar, you think you know me, you think you know me, whatever his song is, uh-huh. Right? Like, psh, ba-na-na-na-na-na. We're like waiting to see, is he going to run down to the ring or not?
Well, there's a rumor that the new wrestler signed from WCW like 24 hours before. And then the next television broadcast, you're like, do we see this guy? Like, did Sting cross over to WWE or something like that?
You know, McLaurin and McCaffrey and Zacchaeus and Diami are all running down to that ring. Is Bryson Tremaine's music going to hit? Is it going to be KJ Osborne's? By the way, all the WCW guys that would come over to WWE normally started with just like one. They were like, oh, it's Brian Taylor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You guys know him. And he's like just in a Speedo. And it was just that first last name. Just something normally nondescript and uninteresting. But it's like, oh, it's Christopher Flores. You know, and it's like, is it? Am I supposed to know this guy?
You mean the jobber?
Let's go to Jonathan in Alexandria. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Danny, by the way, they're still not talking about the drones. Even though they are, they're still not. It's wild.
Totally.
I'm taking the
over. Did you hear the update today, Jonathan?
No, I haven't.
It was only in passing in the first segment, but according to, and I'm assuming this was real, but like the sheriff of Spotsylvania or Stafford County in Fredericksburg, there were drone sightings over King George, Virginia, where I'm from, Fredericksburg as well. So this is now officially a local sticky wicket also.
Yeah. I'm a Mary Washington Eagle, so that I got
to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'm taking the over on this for we're thin. I think the guy's good. I also think that we are going to beat the brakes off the Saints. They can't stop the run. I'm seeing a repeat of the Titans game where we run all over them. So I think it's going to be a low stakes game where people like him are going to be able to get their feet wet in a sort of a safe space.
Ooh, I kind of
appreciate you.
I love that logic. Like they're up, you know, 27-10 in the second half. They go, let's get KJ out there to run a couple of
rounds. Get him a few plays, yeah.
By the way, I totally think they're going to run the ball all over the Saints. New Orleans is arguably the worst run defense in the NFL, and they're coming off that 267 against a really good run defense.
Yep.
Now you have the bye week that kind of crowbarred in a break during what could have been some momentum carrying it over, but I think they found something in the run game against Tennessee they can go back to. If nothing else, just a full-on commitment to whether we win or lose, we're doing it this way. I think that's going to be their mindset. Like, this is how we're going down. With Brian Robinson toting the mail.
So I thought that against Dallas, too. And I'm hoping that this time I'm right.
Yeah. Patrick in Orange, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Grant Dave?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, so what I wanted to say was the language that these NFL teams communicate with is so different. We've heard guys say that it's like going from learning a foreign language and then learning another one, like the difference between Spanish and Chinese. It can be so different from one system to the next. The other parallel is I've been in the military to be 15 years in June, and if you were to drop in on my day at work, the amount of acronyms you would be inundated with, you would barely know where you were going or what people were telling you to do. I think it's going to be the same thing with this young receiver, and I'm betting the under. If he does, in fact, get on the field and it is, in fact, later in the game and you've got a lead, you're running out the clock anyway. You're not throwing it.
Appreciate you, dude.
A couple of things. One, that's so funny about the acronyms. So I live in a neighborhood where, for whatever reason, there's a lot of military people that live in this area. And when I go to any kind of a function at someone's house or like a get-together, or, hey, stop by this person's house on Halloween night for drinks or whatever, it just turns into everyone like, you see what they're doing over at KDOT, over at TAJR? You know what's going on over at LC? I mean, it becomes...
It's unbelievable.
Acronym city.
Yeah.
And as a civilian, that's, you know, they're like, oh, he's a civvy. He's a civilian, you know, whatever. But it's so much like, hey, over at K building, the LTR needs to be filled out for the R7s. I'm like, what
is this? Yeah. I mean, I was a government contractor, former life, with Department of Defense. And I'm sitting there just trying to keep up. I don't know who the ASOC is or the JSIDS is or if like DH is dining hall or someone I have to go find. Like, I don't know anything.
Anthony Calvert, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Can you hear me all right? I'm a little staticky on from my end.
Got you, pal. Sounds wonderful.
Good.
All right, wonderful. Yeah, I also work for a GC, and yeah, the acronyms are ridiculous, but I agree 100%.
By the way, GC, don't know what that means.
Government contractor. Boom. I knew that one. I was a GC.
Well, I work for one. The acronyms are ridiculous.
Dude, keep doing the casual acronyms. It's so funny.
He just acronymed me as he was saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm going to go with the over. Same principle. I mean, you don't need to know the language to say, hey, it's a screen. Hey, it's a slant. Hey, hot route. You know, I mean, just get him in the flow a little bit. But I think, and I haven't heard this mentioned, I think one of the reasons we got him is because he used to return kicks. And since Eckler's been out, I've seen a noticeable dip in our kick return production. So I think you'll see him on kicks, if not this weekend, soon.
Could see it, yeah. I mean, as he gets more comfortable, I think you want him to probably, like, all the time that he has needs to be used to get up to speed at receiver, probably. But I could certainly see as you get further along here that you could use him in that way because they definitely miss Eckler. I totally agree with you on that. I think this is a super hard week to make picks. I don't mean, like, against the spread confidence points. I mean, I'm in a pool where I'm just trying to pick
games.
Oh,
just even picking games is hard this week.
Eagles versus Steelers, Bills versus Lions. There's a bunch of games that are hard. I want to go through some of the storylines next on G&D.